That's the reason you're here. God wants me to pray for you so he can heal you. He said, how do you know? I said, because he healed me. He said, God really healed you? I said, he did. He said, you think he'd heal me? I said, he loves you, brother, as much as he loved anybody in the world. He said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. As you know, he's still working. And I said, as he was down under the hood again, I said, wouldn't you like to give your life to Jesus? And you know, when he turned his face and looked at me again, great big tears was running down his eyes. And he said, you know, nobody's ever asked me that before. And I just reached over and laid my hands on his head. It was bald. And I said, Lord Jesus, my wonderful brother wants to turn his life over to you. Don't you, brother? He said, yes. And I said, Father, my wonderful brother wants to receive the power of your Holy Spirit. Don't you, brother? He said, yes. And I said, Father, in Jesus' holy name, we thank you now for healing him of the sugar diabetes. And we, Father God, declare this in faith. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. And the precious brother turned at me and looked at me and he said, what church do you go to? I said, the Holy Spirit Catholic Church. He said, what? When did the Catholics start doing this? I said, when I met Jesus. And you know, we have in northern Pensacola, we have a lot of the Ku Klux Klaners. We have a lot of racial bias, prejudiced people. And one of the things that's hated in our particular part of the country is Catholics. There's only about 5% of us in Northwest Florida or Alabama or Mississippi that are Catholics. They're very few and far between. And this guy began to tell me of his relationship in the Ku Klux Klan and how he hated Catholics and how he hated the blacks and how he hated the Mexicans and how he hated the government. I said, no wonder you've got sugar diabetes. I said, you got the same problem I have, is hate. I said, brother, don't you realize that God didn't make any junk? I mean, God, when he created Carol, I mean, you, brother, are one of the finest things that God ever created. He said, really? I said, yeah. You know that brother left that day when the car finally got cranked, that brother was healed, had a totally different outlook on life, was telling everybody that a Catholic had led him to the Lord. And the bishops are telling us to be on the lookout. Use every opportunity. The next time you have a flat tire, don't kick it and curse. Know that the man that's coming to fix it needs to hear about Jesus. When you're ever ready on the lookout to be a witness for Christ, every day, everything that happens in your life will be excited. That airplane that I fly, I've had more people saved in that airplane. The mechanics that work on it. I stand there and praise the Lord. It's just a wonderful hallelujah day. Glory to God. And they're going like this, you know. But it isn't too long that they're open and receptive to what I have to say. And it isn't too long that as I'm moving around, they'll sneak up behind me and say, brother, would you pray for me? I said, yeah. I was in San Jose not long ago. And I had reason to go to Reno, Nevada. They're developing an aircraft up there that God was good enough to let me pray for that company and get it straight, let the Holy Spirit straighten out. A lot of the employees got saved. I was invited back to speak to their Christmas dinner, at the Golden Nugget Casino on the second floor. I was up there preaching Jesus to over 400 employees of the Perez Sun Incorporated. And in this aircraft that they were developing, I was flying up to minister to one of the engineers that had a heart condition. And there was a man that had come through one of our schools, or had come one night, and he wanted to go with me. And I said, well, brother, come on. And on the way up there, I got to thinking, well, you know, there's only one reason that this man could be sitting in this airplane. And I said, that's to give his life to Jesus. And so I asked him, he's a good Catholic man. I said, have you ever opened your heart and confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Oh, he said, I haven't. I said, wouldn't you like to do it? He said, when? I said, right now. We were at 12,000 feet, and he looked. He said, yeah, that was a good time, you know. Be on the lookout for occasions to be a witness for Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. If you've never fallen in love with him, you'll never be able to share him. If you've never experienced him personally, you're not going to be able to go tell anybody about him. When you first met your wife, the excitement of taking her around and showing her to people, look what I got, look at her, wasn't she wonderful? You just love to show her off. And the wife was, oh, look what I got. Ooh, I mean, that's a macho man. You know? And you had a love for one another, and it was exciting to show one another off. Well, you see, Jesus is the center of all love. And when you experience him, when you have that personal relationship, when you know that everything that God has ever done, he did it for Carol. And when you have that understanding, that knowledge, it's easy to share Jesus with other people. No problem at all. Because you see, he's my brother. He's my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's my comfort. He's my joy. He's my enthusiasm. He's my excitement. He's my everything. And I just can't wait to share. Whether it's one or 100,000, it doesn't matter to me. I love to share Jesus. Because he is the one thing that works. And our bishops tell us that the true apostle, we're all apostles, the true apostle is on the lookout for occasions to announce Christ by word, either to unbelievers, and we've got a lot of them. You know that we even have unbelievers in the church? I was one of them. I really didn't believe nothing. You know that? I said, if there's a God, he's doing a lousy job. I was really angry. And I don't want to believe in anybody that let my family get treated like that. I was really angry. And you see, that anger and hatred will kill you. I'm going to tell you, it's as bad. You can't take any poison, any worse than bitterness. To hate anybody, it's like taking small doses of arsenic, and it's just a matter of time it'll kill you. It will shut you down. So be on the lookout for occasions to announce Christ by words, either to unbelievers, to draw them toward the faith, or to the faithful, to instruct. You see, my mission here tonight is to the faithful. I'm here to instruct you, to strengthen you, to incite you to a more fervent life in Christ. You know I'm supposed to start a riot in here for Christ? You know that I'm to get you... that I'm to get you so excited about Jesus that you won't wait till you get home to tell... You'll stop somewhere and say, you know what? Jesus loves you. Our purpose and mission in this life is to express love for one another in Jesus. That's what our purpose is. And let me read on. This is, I bet you a lot of you get this. I tell you what, if I have this document I'll have them. If you'll come to our school next week, I'll give you a copy of this document on the layperson for free. I brought 4,000 with me. I'm expecting a big crowd. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, we're going to go through this document, and when we finish with it, you're not going to have any doubt in your mind at all as to what your role is. And we're going to equip you with the power of the Holy Spirit to do the job with. You're going to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're going to know what they are, and you're going to know how to use them when you come through this week of instruction, according to the magisterium of the church, not according to Charlie Osborne or Billy Graham, but according to our bishop. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, it says, and in the heart of all should the apostles' words find echo. In other words, in Carol's heart, the thing that should be echoing over and over and over in his heart is, woe be to me, Carol, if I do not preach the gospel of Jesus. A preacher? What? I'm supposed to get into the Word and tell people about Jesus? Or if you're not doing that, what? Let me ask you, what do you think you can do that'll impress God? You think being a great doctor is going to impress him? He's a little bit bigger doctor than you are. You think being a great farmer is going to, he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He's a better farmer than any of us. We can't impress God with our ability. We impress God with our faith in using the gift to bring people into this wonderful kingdom, preaching the Word of God. That's where we impress God. That's where he gets excited, is when we're working in him. We're not working in me, but I'm working in him. That excites God. You know, Scripture tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible. And I've discovered that the only area that faith is required, where you really have to use faith, is in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues. I'm going to tell you, it requires faith to pray in tongues. It requires faith to lay hands on a person and pray for them to be healed. It requires faith to prophesy. It requires faith to operate in the gift of miracles. It requires faith to operate in the gift of faith. Woe be to me, Carol, if I do not preach the gospel. Now, I want to share, I'm not going to take you through too much of this tonight because I want to save some for next week. But I would like to share this with you. It says, the bishops tell us, and this comes out of you see, every bit of this was written from Scripture. Ephesians 4:16, it says, between the members of this body, there exists, Father, such a unity and a solidarity that a member that does not work at the growth of the body to the extent of his possibility must be considered useless, not only to the church, but to himself. Unless we're operating in this church to win souls into this church, unless we're operating to win and give honor and glory to God through the ministry of the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have no purpose. Everything else that you do will pass away. You're a good doctor, it will pass away. You're a good farmer, it will pass away. But the souls that you lead to the kingdom of God will never pass away. They will live with Jesus forever. And when we go to heaven, we're going to have to carry something with us. And it won't be our money. It won't be your land. It won't be your home. It won't be your wife. It will be the souls that you have ministered to through the power of the Holy Spirit and are leading them to the kingdom of God. That's what you're going to be required to take. And the bishops are telling us, unless we are doing this, we have no purpose. We're useless. I thought my job for years was to be wealthy and to be well-liked. And when I got there, it was an empty life. But my life now is exciting. My life now is fulfilled. My life is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ in this wonderful church. My life is submitted to the authority of this church. My life is committed to be an evangelist, committed to being a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ according to the authority of this church. And I'm going to tell you, I got my bishops. They back me up in this. I've got a, you know, there was a long time that I was teaching them this document, and my bishop, he wouldn't tell me to stop. He wouldn't tell me to go on. And he was kind of nervous a little bit, you know, because he said, boy, some of the things this guy said. I said, Bishop, it's all right here. I said, I want to thank you for writing it to me. I said, I didn't know what to do till I read this. And he kept looking, and all of a sudden I began to ask people. I said, if you, in the school of evangelism, I would ask them, if you've learned anything this week, would you write my bishop and tell him? And my bishop has got hundreds and thousands of letters in the last 4 years. I mean, he's got a Monsignor assigned to do nothing but take care of the mail that I send to him. And finally he said, Charlie, you're on the right track. He knew it all along, but he wanted to see if I was a sticker. He wanted to see if I was going to stay. You see, most preachers that God has raised up in the Catholic Church, they've left. We've got some strong preachers in the world today that are knocking the church, that came out of this church. And I'm going to tell you, they're living. I know one in particular, and I pray for him. Every time his name comes across my mind, I pray for him. A young Catholic man, successful business, baptized in the Holy Spirit, left the church, began to knock the church, and his ministry in the last 2 years has, they've labeled him a homosexual. I mean, they've, all the horrible things that the world could put on him, they've done it. And his ministry is in shambles. One of the most powerful preachers that I've ever seen. His name is John Wesley Fletcher. Wonderful brother. But you see, you don't criticize God's church. God is doing a work in the world today, and we're not to criticize one another with the gospel. We're to love one another. We're not to put one another down. We're to lift one another up. Jesus didn't come to divide the body. He came to heal the body. He came to put the body together, to put it together in love, in unity of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read you. Well, I think I might. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Can you give me a few more minutes? Because probably today in the church, the most controversial subject in the church today are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly tongues. I would probably say, from the crowd that I've talked to in the last 4 years, that in judging what I've found in other groups like this, I would say that probably there's only about, oh, maybe 15 or 20 here that pray in tongues. The rest of you don't. Now, if you don't believe this, all those that pray in tongues, raise your hand. I look at the ones that don't. See what I'm saying? Okay. See, these are areas of the Spirit. These are spiritual things. Healing is spiritual. I'm not the healer. God's the healer. When I pray in tongues, I speak to God the Father. I don't know what I'm saying. It's turning loose and allowing God to minister to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. These gifts that God gives us. Let me read to you what the bishops say about these gifts. And it should clear up. It should clear up those of you that have a problem with these gifts. I'm just going to read this, and it should clear it all up for you. And he's in the 2,500 bishop and is speaking to who? Cheryl. Now listen very carefully. Listen to what they say. And when we put it on this personal level, it's very clear as to what they say. The Holy Spirit sanctifies the people of God through the ministry and the sacrament. We are sanctified through the ministry of Jesus Christ and the sacrament of the church. I don't have any problem with that at all. And I'll explain a lot of that to you when we go through our school of evangelism. Now listen to this. And the bishop says, however, for the exercise of the apostolate that you've been assigned, he gives you special gifts. These are not ordinary gifts. They are not natural gifts. They're special gifts. However, for Carol to be the apostle, for Carol to operate the apostolate that he's been assigned, God gives him special gifts. Each one of you, God is giving you special gifts to operate your apostolate. You will not be an apostle through your own ability and your own knowledge. Your apostolate will come as you begin to operate in the gift of the Holy Spirit, because there is where God is glorified. If we do it through our ability, you will burn out after a while, and you will be heaping the glory on yourself. Look at me, what I'm doing. And it's God that's doing it all the time. So God, listen, let me read it again. It says, the Holy Spirit sanctifies the people of God. In other words, he sanctifies Carol through the ministry of the sacraments. However, for the exercise of the apostolate that he has given Carol, he gives Carol special gifts besides. Not natural gifts. Special gifts. And the bishops give us a scripture reference here where these gifts are listed. They don't leave anything for the imagination. They nail it down. And these gifts come from 1 Corinthians 12:7. So for me to, I'm going to read these gifts to you, because it's important that you know what your bishop is saying about these gifts. Because you see, when I found out that the bishop was encouraging me, in fact telling me that I couldn't work my apostolate without the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, I began to seek after the gift. And what I ran into was that God was telling me, first of all, you must want love. Love is the key to the gift. When you begin to love somebody, you'll want to pray for them to see that they're healed. When you want to minister to somebody, you'll pray in tongues for God to give you the wisdom and the knowledge to minister to that person. If you truly love somebody, you will work, allow yourself to work in the supernatural. So God will be glorified. God is glorified through his gifts. That's the reason he gave those gifts to the church, so that he would be glorified and we could be his children and he could be our God. That's the reason the gifts were given. But they must be ministered in a spirit of love. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Let me read them to you right quick. I know them by heart, but I want to read them to you. The bishops say, in quoting this scripture, the particular way in which the Spirit is given to each person, Carol, is for a good purpose. You see, brother, the Holy Spirit living in you is for a good purpose. And that good purpose is that the Holy Spirit living in you will generate an excitement and an enthusiasm and a knowledge in you so you can minister to me. It's for the good of the body that we can minister to one another, edify and strengthen one another in the particular way that the Spirit is given to each person. It is for a good purpose. Not a bad purpose. One may have the gift of preaching with wisdom.
Now, I want to tell you, it's a gift. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I didn't do anything to get this. God has allowed me the privilege to preach, and my bishop recognizes that gift and has instructed me and mandated me to preach and teach in this church. Any place that I'm accepted, I am to preach and teach under the order of my bishop. He recognizes the gift that God's given me. You see, I didn't go through the seminary to learn this. It is a gift of God. It has been infused in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. I like that. And you see, in preaching with wisdom, when I come in to preach, people are edified, they're strengthened, they're encouraged, they're incited to live the life of Christ. Well, see, only the Holy Spirit can do that. I'm not capable. One may have the gift of preaching with instruction given to him by the same Spirit. Another may have the gift of faith. Now, in our school, we will discuss two kinds of faith. There's two kinds. There's a gift of faith from the Holy Spirit, and there is the measure of faith for salvation. St. Peter talked about the measure of faith that we're born with. St. Paul talked about the gift of faith, a gift from the Holy Spirit. There's two different kinds, and we confuse them sometimes. St. Paul says, not everyone will operate in all the gifts. So there's going to be some of us that will not operate in the gift of faith. God has allowed me the privilege to operate in the gift of faith. And I am convinced that a person that operates in the gift of faith can operate in all the gifts. Because I have. And that's something I don't raise my hands and say, look what I've done. I say, glory be to God, look what he's done. Because I know that everything that I have today has come from God. Every gift that I carry is a gift of Almighty God. It's a gift that he's allowed me the privilege of using, and I use it with excitement, and I use it in a spirit of love. See, it's God's gift. So, another may have the gift of healing. The gift of healing. Oh, we have problems with that. Let me tell you something. If you love somebody and they're sick, I mean, no greater thing you can do than to lay hands on them and pray for God to heal them. But you see, our problem is, we say, well, what if God don't do it? They'll think I'm a fool. Well, they think you're a fool anyhow. So go ahead and do it. You're not the healer. God is the healer. And what he's looking for is channels to move through. He's looking for people that will cry out, Abba, Father, would you please do this? He'll say yes. Faith, it requires faith to operate these gifts. Believing that you have something that you can't see. We're so eye conscious. Well, I didn't see nothing happen. Well, you won't ever see anything happen. You may see the manifestation, but the Spirit of God, you'll never see it. And when the Spirit of God begins to work, he works in areas that you don't know. And all God's looking for is a people that'll dare let him work. And we're the free agents. We can say yes, God, or we can say no, God. We can say yes to the Holy Spirit, or we can say no to the Holy Spirit. We can say yes to the gift, or we can say no to the gift. That's your privilege. My prayer is that we all say yes. Another may have the gift of miracles. Do you know all of these gifts are sitting in here tonight? Every gift that I'm talking about is in this body tonight. The gift of miracles is here. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of recognizing spirit, another, the gift of tongues. And there's two kinds of tongues. There is a tongue that is to be used in the 9 o'clock Sunday morning liturgy that is spoken with an interpretation. And now that tongue must edify the body. It must lift up and edify and strengthen and encourage and incite the body. It's never to condemn the body. A New Testament prophet is one of edification. It's not a put-down prophet. It's one that edifies. Amen? So in this tongue, there must be one that interprets. If the tongue is spoken and there's no interpretation, nobody will get anything out of it. Now, there's another kind of tongue. It's a prayer tongue. It's a tongue that we use to edify ourselves. It's a tongue that we use as a hotline to the kingdom of God, the hotline to heaven. It's a tongue that we use in our weakness when we cannot choose words in order to pray properly. The Spirit Himself expresses our plea in a way that could never be put into words. And the Holy and God, who knows everything in my heart, knows perfectly well what the Spirit is saying, and that the plea of the saints expressed by the Spirit are according to the mind of God. When we pray in tongues in our prayer closet, when we are walking about our everyday job, praying and singing in the Spirit, singing a new song to the Lord. Because every time you pray in tongues, you're praying and speaking a new song unto the Lord. Because it's His language, it's not yours. And it says it strengthens us spiritually. It opens our understanding to the wisdom of God. God then can begin to move in us and encourage us to lay hands on the sick and pray for the sick. He can begin to encourage us to prophesy. He can begin to encourage us to use the tongues and our liturgy. You see, folks, this document was not written to the charismatic renewal. It was written to the body of Christ. It was written to the Sunday morning liturgy and our masses. Wasn't written to the charismatic renewal. It wasn't written to the Crucio. Wasn't written to marriage encounter. It was written to the ordinary, everyday Catholics and Christians that come to this church. That's who this was written to. And I'm going to tell you, until this becomes fulfilled, we are not obeying our bishop. Until the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit is being manifest in this church, we are not in obedience to the bishop and the call of the church today. But I'm going to tell you something. If they're not operated in a spirit of love under the supervision of the pastor, they'll be no good. They will cause harm instead of hurt, joy. If they're not under the control and the love and the direction of the pastor, they won't work. I praise God tonight that you have a pastor here that's listening to this. I praise God tonight that you have a pastor that is open to the things of the church. Many pastors won't sit and listen. And that's, you see, without the pastor, how's the Holy Spirit going to move? Got to move with the pastor. Got to move with the shepherd. But I'm going to tell you this. God is preparing this church. Oh, hallelujah. God is ready in this church. And we're fixed to mount up as wings of eagles. And soar to the very. We're going to win this world for Christ. I'm going to tell you, this wonderful church is going to be that pure bride that God is going to come back, and we're going to have it ready. All the great evangelists of the world has never seen a move or a move on in the area of evangelization, has never seen an area of witness like it's going to come out of this wonderful church. It's just going to come out. And I'm going to be a part of it. In fact, I can see very shortly that this Catholic lay evangelist, under the authority of my bishop, will be preaching on television the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I tell all these big boys that if I want them to move over, here comes the Catholic Church. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this and we'll close. I'm excited, folks, about this church. Hallelujah. Listen to this. From the reception carol of these gifts. See, they don't tell us that they're optional gifts. They don't tell us that, these are gifts. If you want to use them, all right. If you don't, it's all right. They don't give us a choice. From the reception of these gifts, as you receive these gifts, even the most ordinary ones, the very least of the gifts is tongues. And I am convinced today, Father Smith told me 6 years ago, Charlie, as long as you pray in the Spirit, as long as you pray in tongues, you'll never backslide. And I'm convinced today it's in that simple gift, that simple, know-nothing gift that everybody is concerned about and confused about. It's in that little simple gift that the other gifts open up. It's when you start at the bottom that God lets you work your way up. From the reception of these gifts, Carol, even the most ordinary ones, there arises for each of the faithful the right and duty to exercise these gifts in the church. You ever hear that before? The right and duty to exercise them in the church and in the world, under the hood of your car, in the marketplace, in the grocery store, at the beauty parlor, sit under that old hair dryer and pray in tongues. And somebody will come up and say, "You singing in French?" And see, they just ask a question. You say, "No, I'm singing in tongues." "What? Would you explain tongues to me? Until you can explain them, you really won't be able to use them." We've got a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. And St. Paul said, "Seek after the spiritual gifts. Desire them as a baby desires milk." We should be hungry for the gifts of God. From the reception of these gifts, even the most ordinary ones, there arises for each of the faithful the right and duty to exercise them in the church and in the world for the good of man and the development of the church. The church will never grow and develop through bingo. Just won't do it. The church will only grow through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's up to you to decide whether you are going to grow or not. Let me tell you, have you all discovered yet who the church is? Who is the church? Let's all say, "I am." See the unity in that? Well, in other words, the church develops through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You are the church, and you will develop as you use those gifts. You won't develop until you use them. Isn't that something? My life has developed. This ministry has developed as I have constantly sought after the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a spirit of love, never in a spirit of condemnation or put down, but in a spirit of edifying and lifting up my brothers and sisters, in a spirit of submitting to the authority of the church, in a spirit of loving totally and committing my life to the church to do the will of the Father. And it's in the gift that God's raised it up. It's in the simple gift of tongues that God's raised it up. It's in the gift of healing that God's raised it up. It's in the gift of wisdom that God's raised it up. Jesus said, ask for wisdom. Any man can ask for wisdom, and I'll give it to you. One of the gifts. And it's not the wisdom of the world. It's the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is love, for God is love. The whole message of Jesus Christ is loving one another, forgiving one another, being reconciled to one another. And if we're not willing to do that, we set ourselves up as a God, we're going to do it my way, I don't need that, I'll do it the way I want to do it, and therefore you'll become useless. You'll have no functioning purpose in the body, and the bishops tell us that nobody can play a passive part. Now let me explain something to you that some of you may not understand. I'm not saying that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are required for you to go to heaven. I'm saying that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are required to do the work of God. I'm saying that these gifts are used to win people into the kingdom for conversion. That's what the gifts are used for. You know, when somebody in this church, we'll just use an example. Next Sunday, Father comes out, there's somebody sick, he lays hands on them, or he calls the group together that has a healing ministry, they lay hands on that person, God heals them. You know what's going to happen? That person instantly becomes an evangelist. I got healed today in the Catholic Church! I said, what? They doing that too? But you see, it's time that we started this, because we've got it to where I can't afford to go to doctors anymore. If God don't heal me, I just go on and go home with him. You know, Catholics haven't learned how to support a Catholicly evangelist yet. But you're learning. You see, my life is committed to you. My life is committed to serve the church. And as a layman, that's very strange and new. But praise the Lord, God has sustained me for the last 4 years, and people are becoming more generous, and we're able to do more things now than we've ever been able to do. And we know that as I learn and as the team learns, God's able to give us more. For we can use it wisely and expediently to do his work. I want to really thank you tonight for allowing me the privilege to come and share with you. I hope that there's something that I've said that helps you and strengthens you in your walk with Jesus. And if I've said something that's confused you, or cause you to have concern, I just ask you to pray and ask God to reveal it to you. I'm not saying anything that I've thought up. I'm not saying anything that is Charlie Osmond's doctrine. I'm not saying anything that God gave me a special revelation. I'm simply preaching from the authority of the church. So, just know that Jesus Christ loves each one of us unconditional. He's not condemning any of us. And he's giving us an opportunity with an open heart to move into this area of witness, into this area of excitement. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are exciting. It replaces Monday Night Football. It replaces the soap. I mean, you get so excited going to hospitals praying for people, you just forget about all your problems. And it becomes a thrill in life. With the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're no longer bored, no longer depressed, no longer filled with bitterness. There's an excitement about God in using his power to win souls for Christ. Thank you, and God bless you. Good night.